this message is kind of attached to the message that if anyone was here on the first Sunday of the year, talked about a message around how we can trust God to help us to trust Him. And that message came out of a prophetic dream that I had in the week that we talked about hearing from God through dreams. So this is actually kind of a prequel to the first message. So this kind of thoughts around this message was what prompted the one about trusting God. And so if I can just give you a 2-minute, for those who weren't here, 2-minute overview of just how good God is. The grace of God in all the things that He gives us in order us to live a life where we can trust Him. And we were, starting the year off, just focusing on, we want to have the best possible year, do the most important thing. Firstly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Trust Him wholeheartedly with everything about you. And the beauty is that by the grace of God, He gives us all we need for that way of life. He gives us faith. And through the gift of faith, we receive His gift of grace, which is incredible. He gives us His word so that we can understand more about Him and the way He intends life to happen. He gives us the ability to pray so that we can be in constant interaction with Him, with His Spirit. He gives us courage during the difficult, challenging times of life. He blesses us with difficulties and trials and limitations. Amen? But we get to see Him through them more than any other time. He gives us with His discipline and correction. Isn't He so kind? He gives us forgiveness and the ability to repent and to be transformed. He gives us the people in this room, His body, His church. He gives Himself. He gives us His Spirit. He's the very Spirit of God. It's just mind-blowing when you think about it for a second. He gives us direction when we need it in life. And He gives us the security of salvation for this life and for forever. So good. So I just want to just savor the grace of God first, because what I wanted to go on to is to talk about the second equally important commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. And I want you to consider all of the people that you're going to meet this year. So I really want God to focus on people that you haven't yet met, that He's going to line up in whatever ways that happens, that you will meet this year. Okay? So that's a little bit tricky because you don't know what they look like. You don't know where they live or what they do or how you're going to interact with them. But God is going to line you up to meet new people this year. And He's going to give you an opportunity to experience His love through that interaction with you. And so my challenge today, my first question, one and only question, because I know you'd get disappointed if I go without asking a question, for you to ponder and maybe discuss while I get myself set up, is as we meet these people that God lines up for us this year, in whatever ways we come across their path, and at least have a conversation with them, how can we be gracious towards them? What is showing the grace of God in our interactions with people? What can that look like? How do we give people a small taste of the grace of God when we meet them or interact with them? Okay? So I'll just give you a couple of minutes while I get myself set up. You can discuss it with someone nearby. If you're severely introverted, just focus on yourself. Thank you. being gracious. Grace is gold. Grace, it really is. It's the main thing that separates Christianity from any other religion or any other philosophy. God's grace towards us. It's what He's done for us that we get to live out of response to, not we have to do in order for God to respond to us. How good is that? And Jesus just lived grace. Everything He said, everything He did was a demonstration of grace. It was purely motivated by love. And He desires us to do that. So when we think about the people that we're going to be meeting this year, what's some simple or less simple ways that we can be gracious, show grace towards them? What came up in the conversations or thoughts that people had? Let's start on this side of the room.
Hospitality.
Being gracious, what can that look like? Smiling. Being helpful. Taking him out for a meal. Yeah. No judgment.
No judge. That.
That's so good. So today I want this to be, it's going to be a very practical message. And again, I'm not an expert in sociology, but I just want to share some thoughts about how we might show grace, how we might be gracious to the people that God lines up for us during this year. And I was kind of preparing myself, and I'll have just Bible verses up on the screen, and I've invited Lorraine to read the passages that are just really helpful for this message. So yeah, just some suggestions of ways that we can show grace to people, the ones that God lines up for us. The first one, as Laura said, smile, something I find rather difficult to do, unfortunately. But it's so important when you smile, you know, just when you meet someone, just showing they actually enjoy the fact that you're interacting with them says a lot, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. But simply smiling. The next one, which so many people miss out on experiencing, is using their name. Like if I go, Michelle. There's about six Michelles in the room, so, you know, and each one of those Michelles goes, yes, my name. A person's name is their favourite word in the whole of their language. It's what they identify by more than anything else. It's what helps them feel significant and included. So why don't we use it more and more? And we all know that when we meet someone, we say, what's your name? And they say, oh, what's it again? And there's nothing worse than saying the person's name wrong. I've done this several times. But can I challenge you, when you've forgotten someone's name, ask him again. Just say, sorry, I've forgotten your name. Yes, Michael. Mark. Use their name three times. So, yep. Hi, Donna. Yeah, where do you live, Donna? Hi, Donna. How do you keep yourself busy during the week, Donna? You know, just, it might sound like, oh, I'm using it too many times. You can't use it too many times for the other person's enjoyment. Trust me. Using the name is a very kind thing to do. Focus on them. Find out about them. If you want to show grace and kindness to someone, show an interest in them. Ask them about themselves. Ask them where did they grow up. Ask them what do they enjoy doing. Ask them, you know, what's the shape of their family. Just show an interest in finding about them, and they will feel love. We love people who take an interest in us. If we can do that for other people, regardless of whether they reciprocate. It's not about us being known and for them to know about us on the first occasion. It's very kind and gracious to focus all of the attention on them. If they respond, fine. If they don't respond, fine. That's not the point. We just want to show them that they're loved by showing an interest in them. Find out their backstory. Don't judge. Don't judge, when people are telling you their story, when people are telling you what they like doing, don't judge. You go, I'm not a judgmental person. It's very easy to judge people by your facial expression when they mention the type of music that they like or what they enjoy doing. You know, it's the hobbies that they have, let alone getting into deeper conversation and talking about their political views or their religious views or experience. It's so easy to make them feel judged by this or looking away. It's so easy. It's so easy. And it's so important not to let that happen. This is where I've got a black belt. You know? Well, it's a professional benefit of being very poker-faced. Because it allows people to talk to you without them feeling like, are you judging me for this? A thing that really helped me not judge people was something that a revelation that I got during my pre-marriage counselling with Laura. Not from Laura, but from the counsellor. Got lots of stuff sit from Laura since then. But we went through the prepare pre-counselling tool and went away for a weekend in country South Australia for a whole weekend focusing on the things in our lives that we need to pay attention to if we're going to have a successful and enjoyable or sustainable marriage. And this revelation, which I've got written on the back of this whiteboard, has so helped my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my family, my professional job. I'm sure my employment services experience was enhanced by this revelation. And particularly my relationships in church and in ministry have been probably more profoundly impacted by this revelation than any others. Are you ready for it? Everyone thinks that all they think or do is right. Now, I'm not saying that what everyone thinks is true, but it's right for them. So if I'm meeting up with Laura, she's come from a family who spin the toilet roller towards the wall, and I come from a family that spins the toilet roll outside, which is obviously the right way because it's easier to do the Wheel of Fortune from that side. Simple things, difficult. You know, how are we going to approach disciplining our trust? How are we going to approach our finances is all shaped on our experience up until that point. And a couple of examples, you know, in terms of culinary delights, Laura was predominantly a vegetarian. I was predominantly a carnivore. So we had this interesting choice of what restaurants. So she'd be taking me to Veggio's and loving it. And I'd be taking her to some steakhouse. But in my mind, I generally thought that Hungry Jack's burger was a very solid, healthy meal. It had vegetables, something dairy in the bun, it had dairy in the cheese. And so in my mind, a burger from Hungry Jack's is basically a health food. Laura helps me understand by presenting me facts that, I don't know if you know, but like with some of the fast food burgers, if they didn't have the gherkins, they would be classified as confectionery items because they have meat in the bun, meat in the sugar, meat in the sauce.
Sugar.
What did I say?
You carnivore?
They sometimes have meat in the meat. They have sugar in the meat, sugar in the bun, sugar in the, like they're so sweet. So, and I was like, whoa, okay. New information. Okay, maybe I won't go to Hungry Jack's so often. And with housing, even into our early years, my mindset was, yeah, people say buying a house, interest is, rent money is dead money. And I say, well, if you're going to buy a house, interest money is dead money too. So let's just rent and it's cheaper and we could be more flexible. And so we had this challenge until Laura presented me the information around potentially buying a house and what that would lead to and the challenge of it and the equity that comes with it in time. And so we prayed about it, and then anyway, God led us to buy our first house, and it's worked out really well since then. Again, maybe not for everyone, but again, it's, for me, I was right. Renting was the way to go. For Laura, lending was the way to go. Again, Laura was right. I'm just giving some examples where I was, but they didn't come readily to hand. But do you understand what I'm saying? Everything that everyone believes or does is right in their own eyes. It's right in their own motivation based on how they're brought up, what they've understood, what they've been taught, and what they've experienced. And the way that changes and the way all of us change, we change when someone presents us with new information and or a new experience for us to then change what we think is right. Does that make sense? So if that's the case, whatever anybody says to you, it's stupid to judge them because it's right for them at that up until that point in time, unless they have other knowledge or have another experience that will help them shift what they think. And if we have that, then we're not going to be judgmental. We're not going to respond judgmentally. That's interesting. Tell me more about why you think that. Tell me more about how you came to believe that. Such wise questions to ask rather than not sure about that. Well, I think, you know, it's like, and it's always in human interactions, if you're gracious enough to hear their point of view and give them value for having their opinions, they're highly likely to actually listen to what you have to say. Whereas if you respond with a wrong raise of an eyebrow or some other comment, the shutters go up. They're not going to change. They're not going to listen to what you've got to say. And if we want to have interactions with people for God's sake, we've got to make sure we don't let judgment mess it up. Okay? So again, I'm not saying that what everybody thinks is true. There is objective truth, and the Bible is objectively true, and everything. God is, He is, Jesus is truth, but what we think and believe is right for us. And this is an important thing when we talk about repentance and changing the way we think. We need to be open-minded as Christians to go, maybe I haven't got it right, but up until now, this is what I've thought, this is what I've experienced about God, about life, about people, but maybe it needs to change. Maybe there's more information that would help me change what's right so that our right becomes closer to the truth. Okay? So simple to say that's really interesting. I really admire you for having that role or taking on that challenge. So easy to encourage. So easy to compliment. You really like your hair, your clothes. I love the way that you talk about that person. Just taking the opportunity to encourage them, to compliment them, is just really powerful. And thanking them for the conversation. Such a small thing, but a gracious thing. Encourage the last two. Again, showing grace is, and again, it depends on what the situation is. You might be talking to someone on a bus, so you may not likely to see them again, but if you get the opportunity, follow up. It's a gracious thing to offer or to suggest. Maybe we could catch up, maybe we could follow up that conversation, maybe you could send me some information, maybe I'll send you some information. Just, it's gracious to offer a continuation of the relationship or the conversation. And the last one is, if the opportunity came of sharing, demonstrating the gospel, of bringing God, weaving God into the conversation, mentioning church, you know, just something, sharing something of your testimony. It doesn't have to be, Cheryl and I had a money mentor client last week, and you know, it's such a good opportunity to present the gospel or to share our testimonies. And we're kind of working towards that until the end, and she talked about her recent church experience where it was all good until this weird person came up to me and talked to me about having Jesus inside of me. I was like, maybe I'll wait till next week to and pray for her and stuff. So, you know, it's being sensitive. it's not being afraid, but it's also being wise. But how can we, and you know, I think it was Wesley who said, you know, wherever you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So we can show the gospel, even if we're not speaking about what Jesus has done for them, how much God loves them, how much he wants a relationship with them, and how little they need to do other than give their whole life to experience it. Okay? So just some suggestions about showing grace when we interact with people. The other one that I had in this dream that God showed was when we get the opportunity... Oh, sorry. Before I go on, Lorraine. It's got a few verses just related to this, and so if I can invite you to look at these three passages. And as you read them, I just invite you, even if you can close your eyes and just picture God speaking these words directly to you. That's right.
Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't think out only of your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Philippians 2:1-4. Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. But remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Colossians 3.
Thanks, Lorraine. And again, all of this is really clothing ourselves with love. This is all expressions of love. Okay, the other side, this will only take a much shorter amount of time. The thing that God really encouraged me was we have the opportunity of being gracious and showing his grace when people have a problem or a need. So when someone mentions that they've got a problem or a need or asks for help or you can see that they need help, it's a gold opportunity to demonstrate God's grace. And the different opportunities, which some of what we've mentioned, firstly, listen. Really listen. As Michelle said, really listen to the issue that they're facing. Really nod, really take in what they're sharing. Show them kindness by just simply listening is very kind. And sometimes all that people need is just to hear and to be able to share. Problem shared, problem halved. Listening. Empathize. It's kind of that reactive listening where it's, gee, that must be challenging. Gee, that must be. It's just putting yourself in their position, feeling how they feel, letting them know that they're known, letting them know that their hurts, their feelings, their frustrations are legitimate. They're allowed to have them. It's okay for them to feel that way. It's a very kind and gracious thing to do. Pray. We talked about this last week. It's such a gift when we come across someone with a need or a problem. We get to be the intercessor. We don't have to be the answer to their prayer, but we get to take what they need. We get them to experience prayer by taking what they need to Jesus. We get to pray. It's such a kind thing to be offered to prayer. Some people may not receive it, but being offered it, they're not going to feel offended by the fact that you're asking if you can pray into that situation. And what a gold opportunity for people to encounter the goodness of God for themselves by them hearing you taking their situation, asking God in Jesus' name. It's such an opening to the gospel. Praying and offering to pray. Exploring possibilities is a really kind and gracious thing. What are you going to do about that? What have you explored? Who have you spoken to? What have you considered? Again, we don't have to be the answer to the situation, because if we think we have to solve people's problems, as soon as we hear a problem, it's like, okay, nice knowing you. You know, we can step in when people have a need or a request or a problem and say, tell me about that. What have you considered? What have you explored? Sometimes it might be better for them to do it for themselves. Sometimes it might be getting someone else to help them with the situation. Don't feel when a problem or a challenge or an opportunity comes up that it's on you. It's not on you, but it is on us to hear them, to empathize with them, and to consider the possibilities that might deal with the problem. And then sometimes it is. Sometimes we have an opportunity to do something. We know we can help in that situation, or we can give them something that they need or help them access something that they need. So the big question is, at this point in time, what's reasonable in terms of helping or giving people? We've only met them for the first time, talked about a problem. Should we give or help them? So to help us with that, I'll get Lorraine to read the next two passages. These are the very words of Jesus. So again, may you listen to these as though you're listening for the first time.
If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask. Don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You heard the law that says, love your neighbours and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect.
This next passage is what Jesus continues directly after he talks about the two greatest commandments.
The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was travelling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbour to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy.
And Jesus said, yes, no, go. Now go and do the same. That's at the bottom of the Lorraine's page. Go now and do the same. It's like, what's the reasonable standards of expectations of some that we've just met? Jesus talks about this in terms of people we don't even know or like. And again, we need to be wise. We need to be careful. We need to be safe. And it's always good when we're helping people to bring someone else in on the situation. But Jesus' standards should be our standards. And I find this really challenging. I don't know about you, but it's like far out. That could be really tricky. Who knows what's going to happen when I start asking people what their difficulty is about. By trusting that God's going to give you what you need to help them. He wouldn't set that up. And it's the reason Jesus was so attracted by crowds, by people on the outcast, people on the fringe of society, because he was so gracious. He really cared about people in need. And he did something about it. He was compassionate. Not just knew about their needs, he did something about it. And if we want to show God's grace, problems, difficulty, needs, asks are opportunities for us to demonstrate that like no other. So we need to take them. The last two are the same as before. Where we get the opportunity to tell them something about why we are the way that we are, what we've experienced and God's done. And the opportunity to follow up, if you're dealing with someone with a problem, follow them up. How did you go with that? Can I talk to you about that some more? Can I put you on to someone else? It's so kind when people follow us up. So why would we do this? Why would we do this? Again, because God's so gracious towards us. God does this for us. He wants to do this for us. And he wants to do this through us. And can I say, if there's anybody sitting here today who goes, hang on a second, what about me? I'm the one who needs an interaction. I'm the one who needs an intervention. I'm the one to challenge. Can you do me a favour? Please ask. Please ask. One of the spiritual gifts in the Bible is not mind reading. We don't know what's going on in your head or your life unless you tell us. We have people that have a heart to help, to interact, to intervene. We have resources. We have access to resources and people and networks. But unless we know situations, we can't intervene. So please, please. And that's why if you know of someone in need, please go and talk to one of our care team at the table or someone out front today, because it gives us the privilege to put this into action. My big warning is that we can do all of these things and we could get a really good friendship out of it. Or we could really enhance our relationship out of it. These are all really good ways to develop close friendships or trusted friendships. For God's sake. For God's sake. I was really challenged at a Christians Against Poverty conference a number of years ago where they were talking about evangelism and why you would or wouldn't bring God into your conversations with people. And the thing that God convicted me, he said, the reason you don't talk about God in your conversations with the people that you meet is because you're more concerned about your relationship with them than you are with Jesus' relationship with them. You're worried about your reputation. What if they think I'm, you know? For God's sake, bring it in. If you lose a friendship, what's the worst that's going to happen? God may speak to them about the same thing or in the same way through someone else. You just do your part, but for God's sake, do it for God's sake. Amen?
That was my idea.
Okay, four last things. No. I just want Lorraine to finish off with the last three passages that just really reinforce God's heart. This isn't just some weird psychological thing to do. But this is God's heart of love and the opportunity we get to, out of the love God gives us, to show love to other people. And we, that's what we do. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. So I want to invite you to pray for God to help you to be mindful of the people that you're going to meet this year, to interact and intervene as he leads you. And symbolically, if you can put some of this into practice over your morning tea, just in your conversations, just start practicing it, making a way of life, just showing interest in other people. And let us know if you've got any needs or the needs of any other people.
Christian brothers and sisters, I ask you from my heart to give your bodies to God because of his loving kindness to us. Let your bodies be a living and holy gift given to God. He is pleased with this kind of gift. This is the true worship that you should give Him. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed to the farm, for the farmer, and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God.
Amen.